Something is rotten in Canada. Judging by the way President Donald Trump talks about America's growing trade deficit with Canada, it's hard not to come away thinking that our northern neighbor has pulled a fast one, living high on the hog at the expense of hard-working Americans. The way Trump puts it, the U.S. is subsidizing Canada to the tune of $200 billion a year. As any Econ 101 student knows, that's not how international trade works. Just take a look at the dismal performance of the Canadian dollar, which just fell to its weakest since the start of 2016. The truth is that the loonie has been broadly depreciating since 2011, a stark testament to the structural economic deficiencies that have long ensnared the country. This latest dip suggests the currency market has concluded that not only are there no good outcomes to be had from Trump's fixation on the U.S. trade deficit with Canada, but that further harm will come from the ill-advised response by Canada's leaders to the threats of tariffs. Both Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre have called for placing levies on the U.S. that are similar to those the U.S. places on Canada. Trudeau has said American beer, wine, food and appliances would be among items subject to retaliatory tariffs, and measures related to critical minerals would be considered. "We will respond dollar for dollar on all tariffs applied to Canadian goods," Poilievre said early this month. "We will make sure Americans know they will be paying the tariffs they impose on us." In other words, Canada's leaders are willing to bite off the country's nose to spite its face. Sure, such responses are good politics because voters want a government to respond forcefully to threats, be they economic or geopolitical. But the reality is that Canada is woefully outmatched in this fight, and the proposed response to U.S. tariffs would have catastrophic consequences for an economy that is already on the ropes. In cutting interest rates for the sixth time since June, the Bank of Canada at the end of January lowered its gross domestic product estimates for 2025 and 2026 to growth of 1.8% each year from its prior forecast of 2.1% and 2.3%. Canada exports around $421 billion in goods and services to the U.S., which is about 20% of its $2 trillion economy, according to FHN Financial. Conversely, the $421 billion that the U.S. imports from Canada amounts to 1.4% of America's GDP. So, if Trump follows through on his tariff threat, Canada's economic losses could exceed 1% of gross domestic product, and may be as much as 5% between lost profits and sales. In other words, something between a severe recession and a catastrophic one, according to FHN. And that's before any retaliatory tariffs by Canada that would presumably spark inflation and curb spending. Although it wouldn't be good politics, the right response by Canada would be acknowledging it has a problem. The reason Canada's trade surplus with the U.S. has grown is not because it has taken advantage of its southern neighbor, but rather because of structural issues that have restrained its economy and, by extension, the well-being of its citizens. Simply put, as FHN notes, Canadians can't afford to buy more U.S.-made goods. Perhaps the best illustration of how far Canadians have fallen behind Americans is that as recently as 2012, Canada's GDP per capita was higher than that of the U.S., or $52,670 in U.S. dollars versus $51,784, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. Fast forward to 2023, the last year for which data are available, and Canada's GDP per capita has barely budged, coming in at $53,431, while soaring to $82,769 in the U.S. Lest you think that diverging performance is due to some U.S. economic miracle, consider that Canada has fallen behind much of the developed world. RBC Capital Markets notes that Canada has gone from being the sixth most productive economy in the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development in 1970 to the 18th as of 2022. The lender also points out that businesses in Canada invest about half as much per worker as those in the U.S., a trend that has only become worse since the 2008-09 global financial crisis. Here's what RBC had to say in a recent report. "A positive change in productivity could be the most significant factor in lifting economic growth, and the prosperity that goes with it. We have the natural and human resources that much of the world is looking for, and our access to major markets, Europe, Asia, and critically, the U.S., is the envy of the world. With those strengths, Canada's growth challenge can quickly become a growth opportunity, with significant benefits for Canadians. Granted, fixing what ails Canada's economy won't be easy nor quick. Think years instead of months. But its leaders should consider finding ways to reduce the country's notorious bureaucracy and the stiff internal trade barriers between provinces that impede the flow of goods, services, and people." Here's RBC. "Administrative burdens across multiple levels of government have created inefficiencies and increased internal trade barriers. Infrastructure choke points and red tape make international trade more difficult than it should be. Even the mobility of skilled workers, hard enough given our geographic expanse, can be limited by the way provinces, industries, and professional groups try to control labor supplies. And while Canada's tax burden isn't bad relative to other advanced economies, with tax revenue amounting to 34.8% of GDP in 2023 as measured by the OECD, it's noticeably higher than the US's 25.2% of GDP. Bringing the tax burden down would go a long way to spurring growth and productivity. And it's not like Canada doesn't have the fiscal space to accommodate lower taxes, with a budget deficit of around 2% of GDP versus 7% in the US. Then there's the issue of immigration. Like the US, Canada has seen an influx of migrants in recent years, causing its population to grow at rates usually seen in developing economies, straining its housing and labor markets. As the country's per capita GDP suggests, Canada has done a poor job of integrating these new arrivals. All population and workforce growth is going to come from immigration, and we need a better system to match education and skills with jobs, RBC noted. So while Trump is right to say Canada's trade surplus with the US has grown, he's wrong about why it has expanded. As Canada proves, trade is a complicated dynamic and surpluses can often be a sign of underlying economic problems. Good neighbors help each other out, and the only realistic way for the US to eliminate its trade deficit, putting aside whether that even makes economic sense, would be to work with Canada to implement policies that spur its economy in ways that lead to stronger productivity and faster wage growth. Turning back to the real world, that's unlikely to happen. But if there is a silver lining, it would be that Trump forces Canada to finally confront its structural economic weaknesses. That would be a real trade win, for both countries. More from Bloomberg Opinion. Weaponizing Canadian oil would rattle Trump, Liam Denning. Five lessons from Trump's tariff misadventure, Ernie Tedeschi. Trump lost the trade war he started with Canada, Patricia Lopez. Want more Bloomberg Opinion? Op and go. Or subscribe to our daily newsletter.